Welcome back to Near FM, and my guest now is the wonderful Margaret O'Shaughnessy, who is the Managing Director of the Foynes Flying Museum and Maritime Museum. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning, Myra. How are you?
I'm very well. And yourself?
Well, you know, we're looking out at a little rain again, but it's just soft rain and it's a lovely day again.
I'm sorry, because we've a little bit of sunshine here, so I'll apologise about that.
That's okay.
Margaret, first of all, I want to say congratulations. The museum is, maybe I'm wrong, it's 30 years old this year.
Yes, we opened on the 8th of July in 1989, which was exactly the 50th anniversary of the first ever passenger crossings on the Atlantic. So, Myra, yeah, those 30 years have gone by. Of course, it was opened by the wonderful Maureen O'Hara, who's no longer with us now, but we had a great day, and we had a great day again for the 30th birthday.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can you just tell me, please, why is there such a strong connection between Maureen O'Hara and Foynes?
Well, it goes back, Myra, way back into the 40s when a very famous pilot called Captain Charles Blair flew in here and out of here for many, many years. And he kind of did all the records on the Atlantic, the fastest crossing, the first non-stop flight. And himself and Maureen got married many years later, and they came back to Foynes in 1976 with Charlie and Maureen's own flying boat at that time, and came back again after that. So when I was beginning the idea of a museum, I made contact with Maureen, and she was so encouraging and helpful, and she became the patron of the museum and was that until
oh, wow.
in 2015. It was her great love for her husband, who had a great love for Foynes, if you want to put it that way. And we became firm friends.
Oh, that's amazing. Margaret, can I just ask you, is it true that you actually built a flying boat?
Yes, Myra. We built a replica, full size, with the great cooperation of the Boeing company in Seattle, who gave us the blueprints for the Boeing 314 flying boat, which was really the aircraft of the 30s and 40s for passenger travel, because you travelled in the height of luxury with a bed to sleep in by night while you travelled, and a dining room with waiter service and the best of food. So the privileged, the wealthy and the important, I suppose, but also the war effort and a lot of royalty in that would have travelled into this village of Foynes in those days.
It all sounds so romantic, and I really want to see it, but it must be huge, Margaret.
The flying boat is huge, but it could only take on the Atlantic 32 passengers, because they all had to have their lounge seats and their beds and their dining room and their powder rooms and all of that. So very luxurious, Myra, but as I say, only 32 passengers, but you paid very highly. In today's money, it's thousands for a ticket. And of course, the war changed things as well, because the first passenger flights across the Atlantic were in 39 in July, and of course the war hit off in September. So then those links became vital, and eventually, as we see in today's world, Foynes was the escape route for many, many refugees out of Europe who wished to be taken to America in a new life. So we were a little like Casablanca, I suppose, Myra.
Oh my goodness. I was about to say it all sounds so romantic until you just came up with that last statement there. That's
yeah. It was a mix of romance, intrigue, secrecy, and all the other things that go with wartime.
Oh my goodness, yeah. Margaret, am I right in thinking that Irish coffee was developed down in the museum?
Well, you're absolutely right, Myra. There was a restaurant set up here by Eamon de Valera and Lamass, who were the people at that time running the country. And they sent a very young man down here who became a great Irishman called Brendan O'Regan, a young, dapper hotel manager, to come in here and set up a restaurant. And he recruited his staff. And one of them was a young chef called Joe Sheridan from Castle Derrick in County Tyrone. And we had this wonderful restaurant here to feed all these important people passing through. But flights depended, Myra, on weather. And if the weather was too bad, because these aircraft flew below, they weren't pressurized or anything, so they flew at 1,000, 2,000 feet, you know, in the height of the bad weather. So a flight left here in October, 1943 to head off to New York as normal, and the pilot made a decision to come back after a few hours because the weather was too horrific on the Atlantic. And the staff were brought back to the restaurant, and they were asked to prepare food and drink to warm up the passengers. And Joe Sheridan just put whiskey in the coffee. He didn't set out to create the world's greatest drink. He just put whiskey into the coffee, and one of the passengers said to him, "Chef, that's wonderful. What did you use? Brazilian coffee?" And Joe, just being smart, said, "No, that was Irish coffee." And out of that, it went onto the glass and the drink we know today. So we have all that history here in this tiny village.
Oh, that's extraordinary. But it's the village, I've passed through, I have to admit now, I have passed through, and I did actually go in. You may not be aware of that, Margaret, but I have had a look around, but it's an extraordinary museum. But I only just recently learned that you now have a maritime museum as well.
Yes, we have. We added the Maritime Museum, and then last year we added a temporary Maureen O'Hara exhibition. So we have her Oscar and her beautiful dress that was designed for her for the Oscar night, and lots of her memorabilia and Hollywood memorabilia on display now. But Myra, I suppose the big news at the moment is that her centenary is coming up shortly, next year, in fact, on the 17th of August. So we are now starting a massive project, even for us, of over $4 million to extend our museum, to give a lot of other facilities that rural Ireland needs in these days to keep people around, and a new Maureen O'Hara museum to showcase all her memorabilia, her Hollywood contracts, her, oh my God, we have the trap from The Quiet Man.
There's
so much more to go ahead here, and hopefully we'll get it done in time to celebrate our centenary next year.
And when is that date?
17th of August.
Oh, so you actually, it's just a year. Wow, that's a massive undertaking.
Yeah.
And I know you had a bit of bad fortune there. There was a flood.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's bad and there's good in everything, Myra. That's my motto. We were devastated, absolutely. Thankfully, no artifacts, no memorabilia, but the actual structure of the building. We had 600,000 worth of damage done to us in November 2017, but we got open again by April 2018. Our lighting, our floors, our heating systems, our showcases, everything was flooded. It was a horrific, horrific few months. But, you know, things like that bring the best out in everyone. And we all pulled together and we got great support. And we were back in business in four or five months.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I have to say, the location of Foynes, in a way, when you pass through Foynes, it's like you're going through the 1930s and 40s. There's such cute little houses there. But
it was kind of built by the landlord, Lord Monteagle. So a lot of stone buildings, Myra. And, of course, the fact that we're on the River Shannon and that Foynes was a port from the 1860s on, and also is now a Tier 1 port, the same as Dublin. So it's a vital thing, a vital facility, I should say, to have here. Now, the village is small, with 400 or 500 people, but we're on the Wild Atlantic Way, which has made a huge difference, and we've now this new Shannon Estuary Way. So it's a part of Ireland, I suppose, that would never have been known for its tourism business. You kind of go through it going to Kerry or Clare. So we're trying to make them stop and have a little look around, and we're having a great year this year, thankfully.
Well, I just think it's absolutely amazing. And I did something which my brother advised me to do, and I took my sister who lives in Boston, and what we did was go across from Tarbert, just across the estuary, and we didn't take the car now. We just crossed it and we came back, and my sister was stunned. And then
did
we came back.
Did you see any dolphins as you went over and back?
No, but we did come into the museum, and we went up to, am I right in thinking it's the original tower that you have?
Yeah, well, in fact, what it was in the 70s, I think, that tower was taken down for health and safety reasons. It was a timber structure and had rotted. So we just put it back. We built it back up, you know. We have reorganized this building so much. It's the original airport building. So that's nice, and it's nice to be back in this original building. It's a listed building, and bit by bit, Mara. It's taken us the 30 years. You know, we didn't jump at it. We did it little by little by little. And this now new development will be the biggest jump we've ever done in one go. And hopefully we're going to look for some support from sponsors and things, and hopefully we'll get it done in time.
Oh, that's wonderful. Can I just say, it really is the most romantic. The place is just really romantic. But can I ask you, would it be possible for... Or is there plans for the railway line to open again?
Yeah, there's a few things going on with that at the moment, Mara. We have done a plan on it, and we've done a model of what it could be. The railway line will open again as part of the port's development for freight. But it won't, I would say, open for passenger. But
okay.
The thing is, to get it open, they will not be coming down into the village like they used to. They will be diverting much outside the village into the new port area. So this part of it will be still intact.
Right.
Hopefully we can do something in that in the future.
Oh, well, it's as I said, it's a wonderful place. And I'd just like to tell our listeners that it's one of the most extraordinary museums I've ever been to. And it just brings that early aviation and the romance. Now, I know it cost a fortune to fly, but it really, it emphasised the importance of transatlantic flight and where it all started in the west coast of Ireland. So I'd like to encourage all our listeners to get down to Foynes when they can.
And can I just say, Mara, before we finish, what we do now with our visitors, for those that are into this, we make them go through a training course on how to make the perfect Irish coffee.
Oh.
And they get their certification that they are an Irish coffee champion maker at the end. A little bit of fun.
Okay, well, I'm certainly going to enter that competition, and I'm certainly going to bring a few friends down, Margaret, because that sounds really wonderful. And can I ask you, when does the museum close for the winter?
It will close this year around the end of October to allow the building to progress. But we have a fantastic restaurant as well, and we have the Maritime, as I say, in the Maureen O'Hara, so that part can stay open. But the bigger aviation, because of the whole building structure that has to go on, and be ready so soon. The actual flying boat will close on the end of October this year. But normally we would stay open until the end of November.
All right. Well, I'm certainly going to come down before the end of October.
This week, Myra, and we don't close for lunch or for anything. You can come any day between 9:30 and 5, and we're here.
Well, that's wonderful, Margaret. And on behalf of our listeners and myself, I wish you the very, very best in your plans. And on that, Margaret, thank you very much for coming online.
Not at all. Thank you for giving us this opportunity, Mara. It's always wonderful to talk.